Okay, so we left off with bad news when we last got together. We spoke about the fact that the Aaron was taken captive, and Eli died, and his sons died, and his daughter-in-law died. It was not good.
That's right.
So the focus now is on the Aaron. If you remember, it's the Aaron, the golden Aaron with the Kruvim. Right, that is what's being held. It's being held by the Plishtim. However, they do not have the Luchos.
Right.
If you remember, Shaul stole back the Luchos. Okay, Parakeim. We start up. Plishtim lachu es Aaron Elohim vayaviuhu me'Evan HaEzer Ashdoda. So they went and they took it from Evan HaEzer, and they took it south into Ashdod. Right, they took it further into the Plishtim land. Devorah, the Shabbos is right outside of Ashdod. I'll ask her if she sees it. So the idea is obviously you want to get it further away from the Jews, so that's where you put it. So they go and they take this and they put it in the temple of Dagon. What type of idol is Dagon? What does Rashi say?
Fish.
He's the fish god. That's why he's called?
Dag.
Dagon, right?
Dagon.
So Rashi explains, the mus osui kedugmas dag. Basically, it looked like a fish. So they went and they put it together there. Vayashtimu ashdodim mimacha rasvini dagon nofel lefanov arza. So they leave the Aaron and Dagon in this temple for the night. They come back in the morning, and what do they find?
He's on his face again.
Right, face planted. Unbelievable. So they put it back. Whoop! These things happen.
It sounds like Hanukkah.
Well, okay, we'll see what happens next.
Okay.
So he says this time it falls again and it cracks. What cracked?
The head and the hands.
Well, so what do we learn from that?
I'm kind of not sure what we learn. Also, because
it has hands,
right? It has palms, hands, and also right. they're not near the torso. They're somewhere else.
Right. It's a little bit of an interesting type of setup here. This Dagon wasn't all fish.
Right. Right.
Right. There was more to him than his fishiness.
He just had a fish head.
Right.
I'm going to close the door because maybe I'm too loud for the meeting.
Oh, no. Wouldn't want to disturb the meeting.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, their door is closed. Their door is closed. I'm back. Okay, sorry.
You don't have the source sheet in front of you.
We do not.
But it's interesting. In the Medrash, there is a question. Why did they put the Aaron together with Dagon. Any suggestions?
I don't know. Is it the local god?
It's the local god. So really the Medrash says there's two ways of looking at it. One way is that they were giving honor to the Aaron.
Okay.
Meaning that this is a god and this is a god, and therefore
Put them together.
The second possibility is no. One will say, no, this is the Dagon won the war. On the other hand, the Aaron lost the war. And therefore, the Aaron has to serve Dagon.
Right. He's a subservient.
Right. So either is being very nice or very not nice.
Right. And we don't know.
So, in general, there is an interesting discussion when it comes to Avodah Zarah. So, of course, Avodah Zarah, we can't get any benefit from it. However, in the event that the non-Jews announce that this is no longer an Avodah Zarah, then we can. So if a non-Jew comes over and says, I don't believe in this anymore, and he breaks it, for example, that's a sign that it's not an Avodah Zarah, and we can get benefit from it.
Yeah, give me an example.
So let's say it's a beautiful statue. I don't have to destroy it. I can keep it.
And just admire it as art.
Right? I can take the cross and use it as a back scratcher. Get to those hard-to-reach spots on the back.
Okay.
Right? So obviously, it's interesting. In order for this to work, the Avodah Zarah has to be broken. So there's a question in the Gemara as to why that is true. Is it because that this is the way of the non-Jew showing that we don't believe in this anymore? Look, I'm smashing it. Or is it a matter of, no, if it's broken, a God doesn't get broken. So what's the difference between the two?
One is them saying that they don't.
Is there a case where one would apply and one wouldn't? So in the event that it breaks on its own,
right?
If you tell me it's a matter that the non-Jew has to show I don't believe in it, then of course that doesn't work. But if it's a matter of showing that if it's broken, it's clearly not a god, then if it falls and breaks on its own, already it's not a god.
Okay, but
if it can't protect itself, how's it going to protect someone else?
Right. So I feel like we're getting a little far afield. They come in, Dagon is on its face. They set him back up. So that seems odd because he doesn't usually fall down.
Gravity happens.
Okay, but the ark comes in and now he's on his face. So they set him back up, and the next day they come in, and not only is it on his face, he's broken into pieces.
Right.
And he's next. So something kind of supernatural seems to be going on here.
Show them that this is not.
Right. So clearly this Dagon thing. So the question is, at that point, what does that prove? Right? Is Dagon no longer an Avodah Zarah? The idea being, if Dagon can't protect himself, how is he going to protect the Philistines?
Right. Well, we don't believe in Dagon anyway.
I can speak for myself. I don't believe in Dagon. No.
There you go. So,
I'm not a Dagon guy myself.
I'm not a Dagon woman either. My point is that...
No, he's close to saying gal. Wow.
Not Dagon gal, right. So the Aron sits next to it, and Dagon starts, you know, having standing up problems, basically. What do we care what Dagon is or is not? What do we?
Well,
we...
the question is as follows, meaning that in the event if I wanted to go to the Dagon business, right, is it a Avodah Zarah that I can't get any benefit from it? Right, this comes up. A modern day, you assume that there aren't modern day examples, but I'll give you one that was kind of popular a few years back.
Okay, good. Help
in
me.
In India, women as a
sacrifice
gift to some god gave their hair.
Right.
Right?
Right.
They, in fact, decided the good idea is that we could take this Indian hair and use it for a shetel.
Right.
Right? So I don't believe in Harry the hair god.
So you're not a Dagon guy. We heard this.
I'm not a Dagon guy. Buddha, whatever, whoever the hair fellow was, you know, the holy cow, whatever it was they're doing there in India, none of my business. But I do care because, you know, let's say my wife, all of a sudden, she gets herself a great deal on this Hindi hair.
Right. What's your problem with that?
So again, my problem is, if anything related to idol worship, it's not my thing. In fact,
it's
one of the three cardinal sins, one of the Ten Commandments. I'm opposed to it. I'm willing to go on record.
I appreciate that, and I'm so glad you did. My point is that we don't recognize that as a god in any way, but because it has been, the hair was given in the name of a god, correct, which is not a god, we don't want to have anything to do with it.
Correct. We don't want to get any benefit from anything that has to do with idol worship. However, if the Indians decide, you know what, we changed our mind.
Right.
Harry the hair god is not the guy, rather it's Ralph the lettuce head.
Right.
Right? Right? So in that case, Harry's good again because he's not an idol. So the question is, at what point do you get cut off from being an idol?
Got it.
Right? No. So if the non-Jew comes and smashes it, he's out. And we said the question is why? Is it because this was a sign that they used to show that they don't believe in this anymore? Or is it because that, no, if it's broken, it can't be a god. Gods don't get broken.
Well, that's what we say. I don't know what the Philistines were saying when they found Dagon on his face with broken hands and head. I don't know what their position.
Right, so therefore, source number two, which you're just going to have to take my word on.
Take your word for it.
Because, you know, Alan just did the wrong thing.
Also, he never does that.
We see you as an honest broker generally, you know.
Yeah. So in fact, so it says they want to know what was the reaction to finding Dagon like that.
Right.
Did they turn around and say, Dagon is broken? Obviously, Dagon is not a god.
I don't think so.
Or did they say, oh, darn, who's going to clean this up? Our god, he's fallen to pieces.
Right.
He just ain't the god he used to be. So, in fact, interesting, the Gemara has an opinion that all of a sudden what happened? They found Dagon, he fell down on the doorstep and he smashed to pieces, yes?
Yes.
There were people at that time, you're going to think I'm kidding, started worshiping the doorstep.
Oh, no.
No. That makes sense.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Where he
obviously
fell is
the doorstep beat Dagon. So therefore, we now worship the doorstep.
Okay.
Yep, just when you think you heard it all. Once we're not going online, you ever see the movie The Jerk?
Oh, yeah.
I've not seen it, but I've got it to look at.
Yeah.
They're shooting, it's kind of like they're shooting at oil cans. They're shooting at oil cans. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. We're having a Torah Mata moment. We're going to have a sheer trip to watch The Jerk again.
Yeah. So I will watch it now since it has a reference here. My question is...
It doesn't really have a reference here, let's be honest.
Sort of. So they worship, the Gemara says they start to worship the threshold. Is there anything else that the Gemara is saying?
No. The idea being is that they saw from this that Dagon was defeated, not that he was defeated by the ark, but in fact he must have been defeated by...
The doorstep,
obviously.
Threshold.
And what else would make sense?
Is he okay now, and it's now the doorstep that they...
Right, is Dagon just firewood, or...
Yes, so Dagon's, you know, yesterday's news.
Got it.
So they're not interested in Dagon anymore. Okay. Hey. Okay, no yidrichu kohen Dagon, b'kol aboyim beis Dagon, ala miftan Dagon, b'ashon ad yom hazeh. And in fact, to this day, they never step on the doorstep.
Okay.
Yep. Can't argue with that.
Here okay. So now it's the doorstep and the ark.
Yep, you have it.
Is the picture.
So what happens? Now things turn really bad for the Philistines.
Right.
Vatichbad yad Adonai el ha'ashdodim vayasimeim vayachosam bat chorim. What happened to them? So what does the last, so I know you, if you're watching, what words after the words Vayach Osam, what's the next word? Pasuk Vav.
So there's in parentheses. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
So we balim latim. Balim. Is that the word for hemorrhoids? I don't.
What are you asking? Bit chorim.
Right. So bat chorim. Is that the word that's written there?
Yeah.
No,
it's in parentheses.
What is it? What's the word doing in parentheses? Do we often get words in parentheses in Tanakh?
No.
A few times we've got
it. Not often.
So what does it mean when we get it in parentheses? Does it mean something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. What does it mean?
It means that we shouldn't read it, but it's there.
We shouldn't read it, but we should know it?
We should ignore it and skip over it. It's not really in the writing.
So what's it doing there if it doesn't belong there? So, you know, there are a lot of words that don't belong there. In fact, all the words except for the words that belong there. To be honest.
So first of all, what's the word? What does the word mean?
So it's interesting. This is one of the very few cases where this is called a ksiv and a kri. The word is written one way, but it's pronounced a totally different word. Do we have this in the Chumash at all?
Where it's pronounced differently?
We have one word written, but we read a different word.
Yeah, we have that happen.
It does happen.
Where?
I can't remember. Where does that happen?
Now let's take out a Chumash. Yeah. You have no Chumashes in shul?
We do, but they're not here.
I don't
know. What type of shul are we running that doesn't have chumashim? Who's in charge of this place?
Exactly. That's what I have to say.
Well, I used to be a president here. Not anymore.
It just hasn't been the same since then, I tell you.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
The good old days.
The old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be.
Where should I be looking in the chumash?
So I have to look. I would say that we should probably be looking in Perek in Devarim. Perek Chaf Ches. Pasuk Chaf Zayin. 28-27.
It's a very long Perek. I got to get back to 27.
It is a very, very long parak. What is that parak?
I have
the verses. Yeah.
So it is, Hashem will strike you with boils of Egypt, with hemorrhoids, with wet boils and dry boils, of which you cannot be cured.
What? Well, that's not a happy thing.
No, then it even goes further. Hashem will strike you with madness and with blindness, with a confounding heart.
Right.
So again,
so you have there in Pasuk Chav Zayin the same exact words that are here but not here.
Right.
This is one of only two times we have it in the Torah. Who knows where the second time is?
Oh, president. Oh, past president. I don't know.
Maybe the first lady knows.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, Judy, you're wrong.
It's three psukim later.
Oh, okay.
Oh. 30.
You will be betrothed to a woman, but another man will lie with her? That one?
That's the one.
You will.
I didn't need her this time.
Well, somebody else will need to read that then, because I don't trust my Hebrew.
Oh, ye of little faith.
That's true. On my Hebrew, it's little faith. 30.
Oh, there's the same word. It's the same word without the
Isha
that's over here. Ba'aflim or ba'aflayim.
Yeah, there's no vowel.
Wait a minute. Right, what are you?
This is what's called a tikkun sofrim. These are the only two times in the Torah where you have one word written and a totally different word that is read. The idea being that there are certain words that just aren't really that nice to pronounce.
Meaning they're not nice.
You don't say hemorrhoids in shul. You don't say that someone else is going to sleep with your wife.
Got it. What's the word in Pasuk 30? Right. What's the word?
Yishkalena. Now, what do we mean that they were struck with hemorrhoids?
What's that?
What type of terrible? Again, without getting too personal, hemorrhoids are no walk in the park.
Right, but this is worse than that. The Rashi says something.
So what does Rashi say?
The Rashi's saying, and I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this correctly because I've never seen this word. The menstery of the large intestine, a plague of the rectum, mice would enter the recta, disembowel them, and crawl out.
Oh.
To quote the first lady, oh.
What is that word? Mesentery?
I don't know. I don't have English in mind.
Well, is that a body part? Is that what the Rashi is saying? A particular body part of the intestine?
Yes.
I'm just not familiar with that organ.
Ugh. Right. So again, this isn't your run of the mill hemorrhoids. This is a significantly worse problem that they had developed.
Exactly.
I don't think preparation aids would have fixed
that. I don't think so.
Right. So, with that, there was a realization that this is probably not the type of thing that we want to be dealing with.
It says, and they were afflicted internally, is the a little bit later Rashi.
So you say the word in the brackets, is that what you say then? So again,
it's the same words as we had in the Chumash, right? This type of disease that it's written one way, pronounced another way. Mm-hmm. We don't actually want to say it, but coming up from the south.
Yeah. So is that to protect our sensibilities and our genteelness? Is that what this is about?
Probably.
Okay.
Our sensitivities.
Right. Well, I'm from the south, so bless your heart kind of thing.
Got it.
Same idea, you know?
All right, y'all.
There you go.
It took me some time in the south to realize that y'all could be singular also.
Well, no one says it like you. It's y'all, man. Y'all.
How y'all doing?
Exactly.
How y'all doing?
You can say the worst thing about someone, but as long as you say bless their heart afterwards,
exactly.
You're okay.
Exactly.
So the people decided, you know what? This whole Aaron thing, it ain't what it was all cracked up to be. And for sure for Dagon, he's definitely more cracked up than he wanted to be.
But it's interesting, they sort of believe in our God.
Right. So the idea was that they were polytheists.
Yeah.
Right. So therefore, just like Dagon could be a god, you know, there are other options as well. They were open-minded.
But so they give our god credence, is what I'm saying.
Correct. And they thought that our god was a god, like their god, like Dagon was a god, and Dagon beat our god. That was their view of things.
That's what they thought.
So what happened? So they got to get rid of this Aaron, because this is not working for them. They said, what are we going to do with this? They said, let's send it to another one of the Plishti cities. Remember, five Plishti cities, we've said this many times, they are... How many can we name?
Well, one is Gaz, apparently.
Gat is one of them, yes. In case if anyone's interested in Gat, you should know every summer for the last several years, YU has been sending a group of students to excavate the area of Gat.
What are they finding there?
I assume they find what they usually find, you know, a few jugs and...
a lot of dirt.
dirt, sand.
So Ashdod is one.
Ashdod is one. God is one.
Right.
Modern day Israel, what's next to Ashdod? Ashkelon.
Ashkelon
was one.
They're all in Gaza.
Right. Ekron is one.
What's at Ekron?
Nothing excited. And the last was probably the best known one, and that is?
I'm waiting with bated breath.
Gaza!
That's what he just said.
Yeah, he said and that. I said Gaza. Said that. I was wrong.
So they decide, okay, Ashdod's not working, God. Let's send it to God. So all of a sudden they go and they send them back down there, and the whole city gets turned upside down.
What does that mean? The uproar or upside down? What is that? How do we understand that?
Meaning it was a disaster because they end up with the same mice problem.
Everybody gets it,
right?
Got
it. People, little people, and God decides, thanks but no thanks. We appreciate that you decide to re-gift this our own. It wasn't what we were looking for, actually. Right? Coal in the stocking would have been better. Thank you. So that's it. So what do they do now? The Yishachlis Aaron Ahim Ekron. He said, no, you're not sending it over here. Why are you sending this to us? You want us to get killed also? No dice. We're not taking it.
Right.
So this is already three. Obviously, Ashdod didn't work out. God didn't work out. Ekron doesn't want it. Gaza and Ashkelon aren't interested either. So what are we going to do with it? So they say, listen, we don't want this. Let's send it home. Let's send it home to where it came from and let the Jews deal with this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And whoever didn't die end up with this terrible intestinal issue. Their intestinal fortitude was tested. And with that, they prayed to God, please get this thing away from us.
So do we find out in the next chapter how they get it back to us?
Absolutely.
Okay. So here's my, before you go to the next chapter, is there any more you want to say about that? Because I have something else to ask you.
No, say. Don't be shy.
I won't be shy. So
I was concerned.
Okay, good. I appreciate that. So it's been 2 weeks ago, and I've had a little stuff to deal with in between. And I want to go back to the fourth parak.
Okay.
The issue about taking the shards out of the box, out of the ark. And yes. Who did that and how that happened? Because it was coming to us through the Gemara. Could you repeat that stuff to me for a second?
So, yeah, it wasn't taking the shards out of the box, but
or the
matter of taking the actual tablets out of the box.
Luchot, the whole Luchot.
Correct.
Right? So tell me about that again, because I was not familiar with that.
So what we said at the time was that is that there were two arcs.
Right.
One ark had in it the luchos, and the other one had the shards that Moshe had broken.
Right.
So, the one that had the luchot, the full ones, that
right.
Moshe, that was the gold one, that stayed. That never left the Mishkan.
Right.
The other one had the shards in it, that went out to war.
Right.
This war, as we discussed at the time, they decided let's send out the full luchot in the gold one that never
right.
left.
Right.
Bad idea. It gets taken captive, but Shaul grabs the luchos from the ark and he runs back with them.
And how do we know that? That's the part it's not in the text, and I tell me where we understand that from.
We have a tradition.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You remember the song, yes?
I do. I'm good with that. So say more about that, because it just seems seems way out there to me.
Well, so just the fact that we have a tradition is enough for me.
Okay, good.
That being said, though, I think if I remember correctly, if we look at the parak, there does seem to be some allusions to it.
Okay, help me with that.
So, let's take a look at Perek Dalet.
Perek Dalet, okay.
And if you look at Pasuk Yud Beis.
Okay.
So, we get more information than we really need.
Say more.
So, what the pasuk says, "Vayaret ish bin yamin me'amaracha, vayavoshiu bayamahu umadav kruim v'adama al rosha." That there was a person from the tribe of Binyamin who came back from the battlefield, and he goes to Shiloh on that day, and his clothing is ripped, and he has dirt on his head.
Okay, hold on. I'm in the wrong pasuk. We're talking about Dalet and what?
Yud Beis 12.
Right, I was looking at 13. Sorry, okay.
So take a look at it.
Okay. His clothes were torn, there was dirt on his head. Yeah.
Now the question is, why do I have to know, for example, what shevet this guy is from?
Right.
All I have to know is, I could have done fine with word came from the battlefield that blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Not only that, but, you know, I could have assumed that. I could have even gone by without that even.
Right.
So look at Rashi there.
It was Shaul.
Keep on going.
Who grabbed the tablets from the hands of the Goliath and fled.
Goliath.
Oh, Goliath. So he actually takes it from Goliath?
Yes.
Wow. How is he able to do that?
Well, he was quite the big guy / warrior type himself.
Okay.
Well, we get to know him.
And Goliath, of course, is not dead yet because he's not dead yet.
He's okay. Not dead yet because he is not dead yet. That is correct. And that is why he is not dead.
That's why
he's not dead yet.
You know, I'm so glad I could let you in on my thought process there. Okay.
Yes. I think I followed it.
You did.
So,
okay, so we say so it gets assigned to Shaul and this thing about Goliath and all that. It's okay. It's just so weird.
Right, I understand, but yeah, you see that the real answer is tradition.
Got it. Okay,
but the longer answer is it's not coming out of nowhere. Right.
Okay.
That verse in general is not reading well, and that's why Rashi, who always is insistent on giving us the simple meaning, actually puts it there.
Okay. So we know it from this Rashi. Is there anywhere else in the Perek that we have an allusion to this?
I don't think so.
It was just a long time ago and I just couldn't put it back together. It was the first time I'd ever heard it and I just didn't remember how we got there. Okay.
Okay, that's good. I think maybe we'll hold off on the next parak, given the hour, till next
week.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate your walking me back through that.
Not a problem. Welcome back, one and all. And
thank you.
Looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah. Okay. Have a good Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos. All the best.
Bye. Bye. So the deal with the word that we don't pronounce, we pronounce another word, is just about sensibilities, basically.
Yeah, like it's not
a nice thing to say in public.
Right.
And what we're talking about is hemorrhoids, and we don't want to talk about that in the public space.
Well, we don't want to.
It's the wrong word.
Yeah,
you think?
Well, yeah, it's not hemorrhoids.
No, it's clearly not hemorrhoids.
It should be asteroids.
Asteroids?
Yeah, instead of hemorrhoids.
Exactly. It sounds like more like asteroids, to be honest with you. You know, mice crawling in and out of your large intestine.